This is Stephanie's New Waltz by the world-renowned Prague-born jazz guitar player Rudy Linka. After moving to Sweden as a young man, he later left for the US and has been living in New York for nearly a quarter of a century. In recent years, however, Rudy Linka has been home in the Czech Republic every summer, organizing the Bohemia Jazz Fest, a great free event which brings world-class jazz musicians to a number of Czech towns and cities. We met at Café Slavia, one of the haunts of his teenage years.
I started to play violin when I was six, and, my family, everybody in my family played instrument. It was either piano or violin, and I got in touch with the guitar when I was 13. And that was when I was actually at the camp, and there was a guy who played really, really good, and he was really a professional player, and he somehow just happened to be there, and I fell in love with the instrument, and also the guy was so friendly and so much fun to be with, and from that moment I kind of started to listen to Beatles and try to play those songs, and very early on I actually got into jazz because I met really good friends who were just crazy about jazz, and I started with Miles Davis, and I basically jump over this whole thing about rock and roll, and so.
Is there a big tradition of jazz here? I know the generation of people like Shvoretsky, who are older than you, they were into jazz, but from your generation, was there a big tradition of jazz in this country?
You know, I think so. I think the communists, because, I mean, Shvoretsky, he grew up, during the Nazis, and the Nazis, the jazz was totally forbidden. I mean, it was these pamphlets were saying that, the solo cannot have, more than three swing notes, and all these crazy things. And I think the communists kind of, for obvious reasons, that they really didn't encourage jazz at all. And I think that was a big attraction to it through intellectual people and I remember people like Karel Velebný, who was really great mentor to me and a great teacher, and around him was always a lot of young people. But also American Embassy, they had a culture center. You just walked in, they had all the magazines, they had all the LPs, and you could borrow three LPs at a time, and you had them for a week. After you returned them, and you taped them home at the tape recorder, you returned them, you pick another ones. And I had really kind of good jazz collection through the American Embassy in the 70s.
In, I guess, about 79, 80, you, at the age of 19 or 20, moved to Sweden. Why Sweden?
First, I didn't know nothing about Sweden, and I was already studying German for 9 years, so I knew that I don't speak German. And it's also, the historical thing about Czech Republic and Germany and Austria, there was always a lot of tensions, but there was never any tensions with Sweden, and Sweden always had a great jazz. And also, a very good friend of mine stayed in Stockholm. And he was a saxophone player who went to Karel Velebný also, so I knew that I have friends somewhere who I can stay with, so I went to Sweden.
And later you went to America. What was it about America? Was it a work thing that you knew you had to go to the States to get somewhere?
I was in Sweden for 5 years, and I also left Czech Republic because I wanted to study jazz. And somehow I was naively, thinking that once you cross the line, for the Iron Curtain, that you would immediately, there will be a lot of jazz schools all over the place. But this was not the case in the 70s and early 80s. And so I came to Stockholm, and there basically I started to study classical music again, which I was doing even here at the Prague Conservatory. And I start to understand that if you want to do jazz, and if you want to really learn it, you have to go to the United States, because these guys played so much better. I mean, it's just like, even in Sweden, I mean, when these guys showed up, I mean, they were just like, I mean, on totally different level than the Swedish guys. And the Swedish guys were very good. And so I, after 5 years, I got a scholarship to Berklee College of Music in Boston. And I went there for a year. And after that, I got another scholarship to New School in New York. And I studied there for 2 years. And after that, I basically stayed in the United States.
I understand also that a meeting with, or you getting to know, the great guitar player John Scofield was a big thing in your life and career.
I was so lucky that I studied with some really amazing guys. John was one of them. Jim Hall was another guy. And John Abercrombie was another guy. I mean, these guys were just really, really nice to me. And when I met John for the first time, I mean, he came to Berklee. He was doing a clinic. And I, you know, after that, I went and asked him if he could give me some private lessons. And he said, you know, when you are in New York, you know, give me a call. And that was just when he left Miles Davis, and he was not so busy with his own band. And so I was so lucky that I, you know, I had like 20 lessons with him in his basement.
Also, jumping forward in time, you guys somehow ended up busking on Charles Bridge, so two of the greatest jazz guitar players playing for free on Charles Bridge.
That was really funny because we went on vacation to Prague. That was, I think it was 2000 or 2001. And John's wife, she is, you know, she bought a book about Prague, and she was studying the book. And in the book was that all the musicians are playing at Charles Bridge, you know, and it's just like, this is the thing to do. And she said to us before we left, she said, guys, do you know what you do? You take two guitars and you play at Charles Bridge, and let's see how much money you make. And for that money, we will go and have a dinner, and we cannot spend one dime more than what you made. So we had our, you know, two acoustic guitars, and we went to Charles Bridge, and we sat down right in the middle. And they took out these guitars and started to play. And the moment we started to play, so it was a little crowd around us, because it was people who were watching us and thinking like, no, this is not happening. These guys look like some, you know, somebody. But also immediately, these two police officers showed up and started to ask, you know, if we have the permit to do that, you know. And of course we didn't. And I was pretending that I don't speak Czech, and John was totally honest, saying I don't speak Czech. Of course they didn't speak English, and it was really, they just wanted to take us to the police station. And luckily enough, it was a TV, Czech TV, walking by, because they were filming something on the other side. So they were walking by, and they started to film this. And this Czech reporter said to these police, and these guys are really famous. And this whole thing was caught on TV, on the tape, and they showed it on the main news the same day. And it was really funny. And so what happened is that the police said, okay, you can play one song. So we played one song. We didn't make any money because we didn't have the permit. And we almost got arrested. But, you know, it was one of the most bizarre periods in my life, I think.
And you had no dinner that day either,
right? They had no dinner, of course, you know, but, yeah.
Tell us also, a few years ago, you set up the Bohemia Jazz Fest, which is a touring jazz festival. You play in 6 or 7 Czech cities and towns every summer. How did that come about?
Well, you know, it started 6 years ago when I bought a house close to Prachatice, which is a tiny little town in southern Bohemia, beautiful town. It's on the border with Germany. And I really fell in love with that little farmhouse and started to renovate this. And I renovated just when I was here in Czech Republic. It was the first time in a long time when I suddenly came and spent 2 months here. And these 2 months, you know, it was amazing for me, because in some way I kind of returned home without returning home. But these 2 months really opened my eyes, because I realized that, you know, people are so nice, the food is great, the nature is unbelievable, but the music which they play on the radio, it's terrible. I mean, it's just, I couldn't find a station, you know, and it's just like, and suddenly I realized that I'm so lucky, because I know the guys who can really make some good music, and I feel like, wow, it would be so great to have these guys to play in this amazing environment of these beautiful towns.
You don't have any trouble persuading world-renowned musicians to come and play in a little town like Prachatice?
You know, this is really funny, because it's always helped to know the guys, you know, so it's kind of, okay, let's, how do we do this, you know, and I can promise them, okay, so the pay is terrible, but let's do a massage in, a you know, some other town, let's do this, let's do that, and, you know, so the guys went for it. There are also some people who were extremely skeptical. I remember last year we had Tuck and Patty. I don't know if you know these guys. They are from California. Really, he plays guitar, she sings. Tack Andrew is amazingly good guitar player, really virtuoso solo, you know, jazz guitar player. So they were coming to Prachatice, to play in Prachatice. And I remember the contract was, okay, we don't want to come with our own car, because we are not really sure that we will have the car, you know, after the night, you know. And they were so afraid. So they booked themselves to Linz. They were staying in a hotel in Linz. And we would just come and pick them up, and we would drive them, you know, for the gig. And after, we would drive them back, and they would have a dinner in Linz, you know, because they wanted their shrimp cocktail, you know, and vegetarian things. So we picked them up, drove them to Prachatice. In Prachatice was this amazing crowd of 4,000 people standing, you know, waiting for them. the concert was totally amazing. They stayed in the hotel in Prachatice, which was like, you know, 2 stars hotel. In the contract they had, the hotel has to be deluxe, 5 star, boutique hotel, have they a boutique. And they stayed in this little dive in Prachatice because they just had so much fun, so they couldn't really leave immediately. And I just felt like, well, even that is great, that the festival works the other way also. It's almost like, you know, these two sides are discovering themselves. And I'm for sure that Tuck and Patty, after they left, so they are, you know, telling many friends all over how much fun it was, this tiny little town in Prachatice. And they actually will play in Prague in the fall because it was such a big success. And now they are just like, Czech Republic is the place to go.